This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
President Trump has called for an audit of the nation's bullion holdings at Fort Knox there in Tennessee, but no formal reevaluation policy has been adopted so far. The Federal Reserve has issued accounting guidance confirming that the Secretary of the Treasury has the power to issue gold certificates backed by the department's holdings. Reevaluating the United States gold reserves presents a compelling strategy for fortifying the Treasury's balance sheet. It offers a means to reduce the debt-to-GDP ratio and narrow the fiscal deficit without resorting to new borrowing or tax raises or inflationary money creation. The impact could alter global currency markets, challenging the dollar's preeminence, and prompt a review of the international monetary system. It may also influence strategies for preserving wealth in periods of uncertainty. I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. And today, we go back to November 4th when we interviewed a new friend of this program, Christian Briggs, an economist who is up to his eyeballs dealing with members of Congress and the White House and so on with regard to economic issues. Historically, gold reevaluation has proven an effective fiscal instrument. In the 1930s, it helped the Treasury inject liquidity into the economy by expanding the money supply. Critics at the time regarded it as a covert method of printing money. So the tension persisted until the landmark Treasury Federal Reserve Act of 1951, which established the central bank's independence in conducting monetary policy. So we fast forward today, according to a special article that occurred, I'm not even sure where it was, but I have it in my hands right now. Fast forward to today. And market analyst Alastair McLeod has warned that declining foreign appetite for American debt could soon trigger a currency crisis. If it did, that might compel a dramatic reevaluation of its gold reserves to preserve the credibility of the dollar and ensure financial stability. If President Trump were to invoke the Gold Reserve Act, a global surge in gold prices could heavily benefit heavily indebted states with large bullion reserves, but it may also lead to a simultaneous decline in fiat or paper money, potentially kickstarting a period of far-reaching and unpredictable financial disruption. So that is just the introduction to a fairly long piece discussing what is perceived to be taking place as a result of President Donald Trump's calling for an audit of the gold supply at Fort Knox. Why would he do that? What would be the ultimate purpose and long-range consequences of it? Well, we talked about that with our friend Christian Briggs on November 4th. Today, we're going to talk about a corollary subject. And that corollary subject he calls unleashing the beast. It's a euphemism, if you can call it a euphemism, for the so-called Genius Act. The Genius Act that was signed, the Genius Act of 225 that was signed back in July. And he says this Genius Act marks the point of no return of a gateway for transformative shift in global finance and personal autonomy or control. While its passage appeared to close the door on a digital dollar, like central bank digital currency, which we discussed back on November 4th, the Genius Act opened a much more sinister gateway, he said. So the economist and friend Christian Briggs is rejoining us here on Viewpoint today to talk about this Genius Act for dummies, since most of us don't quite understand the depth of the economics of this as Christopher does. He's going to help translate this to us in a way that we can understand perhaps its implications and what we need to do about it. Christian, it's good to have you back on the program.
Chuck, Chuck, it's always an honor to be on your show because you always speak the truth, and that's rare these days. So well,
I try to do that.
Anytime.
You know, it's not my truth and your truth. Hopefully it is the truth. But when it comes to issues like economics, there are certain, shall we say, principles that they would call truths, but then there is a lot of theorization as to what things really are, how things are happening, why they're happening, and what to do about it. So is the Genius Act a kind of governmental theorization, or is it hard? Is it based on hardcore truth? How are we to understand this act?
So when you look at the Genius Act as a whole and you start to peel it back, what it is it's a bill that was used to circumvent the role of the Federal Reserve. Let's talk about why we would even have a bill like this. As you know, about 5 years ago and thereabouts, I brought to the attention of select members of the Senate and the House, Republicans, that the Federal Reserve was working in a nefarious way to undermine Congress's ability and authority to issue new forms of money. Now, there was the disbelief among congressional leaders in the House and the Senate that this could have ever happened, that the Federal Reserve would take it upon themselves to go through the process of creating a centralized, and I want to make sure it's clear, it's not a crypto. Uh-huh. It's a centralized digital dollar to replace the paper dollar. Thus, they would have control of the entire United States monetary system and not just a portion of it that dictates policy on interest rates and works with the Treasury for debt offerings and or putting certain types of amounts of cash into society. You call it the economic. And so when they started to realize and they went on some covert meetings and they created opportunities, certain senators and House members, to get to the bottom of it, they realized that the Biden administration had fast-tracked this process even further than during Trump's first term when the Federal Reserve started to usurp Congress's authority in 18. Once we identified the fact that the Federal Reserve was working as a communist fourth branch of the United States government, and it was deemed to be necessary to take the ability, the authority, the responsibility of monetary policy away from them, and the only way to do that was to institute new legislation once Trump won, of course. It had to be Trump winning. If had Kamala Harris won, you don't even want to know the area in the things of which we'd be in right now. Kind of, I call it the quagmire sand of no return. Like, you know, you've got quicksand. Well, this is worse. Right. This would be way worse. Now, we have the Genius Act, and there was a portion of the Genius Act, which you saw my report that I sent to members of Congress, both the House and the Senate,
right,
letting them know in advance, if you pass this bill in its current form, there's going to be some issues because there's holes in the act. There's always an issue with legislation. You know, you're never going to get a 100% perfect bill, and I get that. But this was worse than a perfect bill. This was a really bad bill. Because if you get the wrong administration, and this is all easy now to identify with online, you can see this for yourself, then you get an administration that says, oh, well, we've got this, let's turn this into a central bank digital currency. That's all you got to do is one big lever.
All right, we'll pick up on that after this break. Friends, the title of the document that our guest sent to Congress is called the Genius Act. It's not what you think, it's worse. It's unleashing the beast. Wow. That should tickle your ears for a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Christian Briggs is the CEO of Hard Asset Management, a veteran of financial markets going all the way back to Black Monday in 1987. And he brings a kind of strategic vision and industry connections to the discussion. Considered to be an expert in economics and hard assets, and has advised and continues to advise members of Congress and the Senate. And he's joining us here to advise you because he considers that we, the people, are what this is supposed to all be about anyway. So, Christian, you call this not what you think, but worse, unleashing the beast. When you use the term beast, it stirs up imaginations of the beast empire, the final beast empire that's referenced in Revelation chapter 13 and 14. Is that what you're referring to?
Sure it is, because it's a digital process that now is irreversible. It's already passed. You're not going to take away health care of the current that we have, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, food stamps, and even welfare. Once you offer these things, in this case, digital currency, because it's efficient, it's safe, and all this kind of stuff, you're not going to take it back. So it is unleashing the beast. And remember, Revelations will be fulfilled no matter who's in the White House.
That's true. And we need to understand that, too, don't we?
Yeah. I've had some really good opportunities to kind of discuss with a lot of great Republicans and very loyal constituents of the president. He's a great guy. But sometimes what you have to remember is Woodrow Wilson, in order to be able to facilitate an expansion of the economy and to really create a lot more economic development, especially prior to World War One, he created two things that defined us, and that is the Federal Reserve and the IRS for taxes. Uh-huh. He said very clearly, there'll never be tax rates over 3%. Promise you that. You have my word on it. Remember those? Okay, come on now.
Promises, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's like the regular U.S. postage stamp for normal mail was 1 cent. And I have all the stamps to prove it in my collection of stamps that I began at age 10.
Not only did we think at one time that we would never have an income tax in this country, we thought we would never need a central bank. We never thought we would need the cost adjustments because inflation would never be a part of our economic equation ever, because the government would never have the right to print more money out of thin air because the Federal Reserve didn't exist. Uh-huh. So all of these great intentions, and they were great intentions in the beginning, turned out to be nefarious acts by bad actors, and now the consequences are right in front of us. And the Genius Act was a great idea. How do you rebalance the way of which the dollar trades on the international market? How do you minimize deficit spending, and then how do you eliminate the debt altogether? The determination was, well, we're going to do stablecoin digital dollar, and then we start to be able to formulate a way of which to take the debt and put it in the Federal Reserve. The idea now is going to be that the Federal Reserve buys all the debt, or at least a big portion of the long-term debt, and then Trump wants to collapse it. But we've had to go through all of these different ways of which to get back to the starting point, because we've had bad people in high places. And unfortunately, the Genius Act, as good as the intent is, and it's a good intent and the intentions are well received,
right,
when you read it, and Chuck, you've read the 54-page report, it's very clear. Yes, it's like the Federal Reserve. It started out as a great idea to minimize fluctuations in the value of the dollar, to mitigate any risk of inflationary pressures, or to monetize the economics of the United States, which it did. But over time, it became a slush fund for various bad people. Well, fast forward to 2016, 2017, that's when they started working covert operations, the Federal Reserve did, out of both the New York and the Boston bank buildings, mostly the Boston bank building, and they were developing a central bank digital currency, and they were going to leash it out to the public through a thing called the FedNow platform, FedNow. Look it up. The FedNow was going to be the gateway to launch the CBDC in Kamala Harris's administration. Ripple, which XRP is the little token that associates with Ripple, was going to be the CBDC platform. In fact, one of the co-founders of Ripple donated over $11 million to the Harris campaign, anticipating they were going to become trillionaires because they were going to be the rails in which all this money transfers back and forth on, kind of like the SWIFT, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, this guy who dropped out of high school and has no formal college education, who's 6'8", blonde hair, said, wait a second, got wind of this, found documents to prove it, and that's me. I bring it to the attention of some very, very trusted, good Christian men in the United States Congress and said, guys, you need to look at this. At first, I thought I was crazy, but when they did, and they obviously had their access to intelligence and so forth, they realized I was right. And now here we are with the Genius Act.
All right. Now, you mentioned the CBDC. Let's go back and tell the people what that means. It means central bank digital currency. So that was what was on the table initially, a central bank digital currency. But now the Genius Act puts the kibosh on that and substitute another kind of digital currency, does it not?
It substitutes what would have been what the Federal Reserve was intending to do, was to bring out a complete control, programmable, surveil type. It's so evil. I mean, you can't communism by any name is still communism. Yeah. We can water it down. This was pure communism.
What this looks like in the description, it looks like the Chinese system on steroids.
Bingo. Well said, Chuck. Well said. And that's what it was. It was a way of which, think about that you're 9 feet tall and you're looking at kids playing in the playground and even in the sandbox, and you're right there just looking at them, and somebody gets out of line, you pick them up, you throw them back in the sandbox. They say, no, you can't spend your money there. You can't do that. You can't do that. And that's what it was. And that's it still is. It didn't go away. It hasn't just disappeared. It's just sitting there. And that's one of the reasons why the Genius Act was we've got to take what already has been built, provided that we can get Trump in, which they did. Now that they have, the Genius Act moves forward. When I sent the document that you're currently reading, I sent that to various members of Congress, and I said, listen, you can't, in its current form, just pass it. Nancy Pelosi is world famous for saying, let's just pass it and figure out what's in it. You can't do that on this. There's no way you can do it of this, because this is going from horse and buggy, no electricity, never had indoor plumbing, to the formal digital age of transformation like the Jetsons. It's that big of a deal. Because what it does is it completely replaces anything that we've ever used as a form of payment or value. Uh-huh. It'll be exclusive, okay? It'll be exclusive. No more cash, no more ways of which to pay with a check. This is going to be one of those things where your money is held by a third party. If you want to even get to your money, you have to have systems like biometrics, digital ID, retina scans.
In other words, no more passwords. You got to have the chip.
You got to have the chip. In fact, go look up Apple starts implanting brain chips into brains to replace iPads, iPhones, and computers. Yeah, it's already started. They're already testing with it. So you're already getting to the point where digital ID meets implantable brain chips for purchasing, making phone calls, meets the central bank digital currency of the Genius Act. Now, what's left? Nothing. That's the mark of the beast. So like I've said before, every part of God's word will be fulfilled. It's just a matter of time. And the Genius Act, unless it changes, and I know that the Senate and the House are going to take up, because I'm pressuring them as best I can with various ways, to go back and amend this bill, which I'm not so sure they will, because you're never going to get that many Democrats to sign on with like they originally did to sign to get it through. Which, by the way, you've got to think about this. Why did 17 Democrats have to help to get this bill across the finish line in the Senate? Think about that. Democrats don't vote for capitalism, prosperity, freedom. They really don't. Their whole ideology now has shifted so far left. It's really the Socialist Communist Party of America. Right. And then there's the Republican Party. That's really what it is.
In other words, so they identified with the control aspects, the surveillance aspects of this bill, and said, hey, wow, now you're talking our language.
Yeah, they loved it. They thought this thing, they said, like, okay, there's Wonder Bread that's now sliced, and there's the Genius Act. This is better than sliced white bread. Yes.
Okay, now, that being said, they talk about stable coins. Now, what is a stable coin that's associated with this Genius Act?
So a stable coin basically is a token that helps identify, in this case, a United States dollar. The stable coins can be used to back all sorts of different things. And what I try to tell people is a stable coin is a uniquely identifiable, individually token, no different than when you try to buy a product online. There's a token, if you will. I'm going to call it a stable coin to kind of make the point. And you'll use that stable coin or token to be able to fulfill a transaction. It identifies a cardholder willing to try to buy a product on eBay or something like that. And then eBay has a bank that is a merchant bank that looks at that token through a gateway and says, oh, okay, that's a legit card, legit number, we got approval. And that's kind of what the stable coin is.
Okay, so most of us, though, when we think of a coin, we think of something we're going to hold in our hands. But that's not really what this is about, is it?
No. See, like a stable coin is like a type of a cryptocurrency.
Uh-huh.
Kind of to maintain the stable value of the dollar where it won't fluctuate, typically by being pegged to an asset like U.S. dollars, like what they're doing in this case. And unlike more volatile cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin, stable coins use mechanisms like collateralization with fiat currency. That's the dollar.
Okay.
The only difference is you've got to have some type of centralized systems in order to make sure that the stable coin is being used in legitimate ways, not nefarious, and not by bad actors. So when people say, oh, no, it's a crypto, it's not a crypto. A cryptocurrency, by definition, trades in anonymity on a fully decentralized system.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So this is a hybrid, and ultimately within the Genius Act, if you want to make it a full CBDC, and I welcome any of your listeners today to look it up, that you could turn that Genius Act into a CBDC with a couple push of the buttons or pull of the levers, and next thing you know, you have what they have in China without the safeguards.
Okay, I can see that, and I don't even have to be an economist to kind of see where this is going. Question. It is said that gold and silver are wonderful hedges against inflation and help to stabilize your economic system so that when the dollar is diminishing, then the value of gold will go up and related to interest rates. But how does this affect gold and silver? It seems to me that it kind of puts it on the back burner.
It depends on how they're going to use gold and silver in the future. For example, if you take what is true wealth? Wealth is basically something that you can point to that has definitive value. Gold and silver have definitive value within the marketplace. Even the atheists realize that gold and silver have tremendous value, or the Chinese and all these other countries around the world. Venezuela buys it. Venezuela can't be a Christian nation. It's a socialist. Socialism and Christianity does not mix. It doesn't go together. So if you look at all the countries around the world, there's never been a larger appetite in history for gold and silver. So you have to look at and recognize that true wealth is whatever everybody can agree on. And for the one thing that everybody can agree on, regardless of gender, age, culture, or religious affiliation, gold, we never have to teach our five-year-old kids that gold has an incredible value or intrinsic value. If they see a gold bar on the ground, they instantly gravitate toward it. Why? Because God made it that way.
Yeah.
And why is gold going up so much? It's because the dollar is in its decline. It's in a permanent decline.
And yet the dollar was the most trustworthy kind of currency out there. It was the standard moderating all other currencies. And if the people are gradually losing their confidence in the dollar, it makes it sound like we're getting to the place like it was back in the Revolutionary War when they had these greenbacks called the Continental, and people were making clothes out of the currency because it wasn't worth a Continental. We'll be right back after this, friends, with our special guest, Christopher Briggs. You don't want to miss the further conversation here. Unleashing the Beast, the Genius Act. What are the implications for you and for me? We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Always a pleasure to join you here, my friends, on Viewpoint, to talk about things that are important to us, things that make a lot of difference in our lives. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't trust our gold and silver, that God wants us to trust him. So why would we even talk about gold and silver? Well, what do you say, Christian?
Well, I look at it like this. There's a lot of things we can hold as I want to say close and dear to us that would then otherwise have value. But when it comes to money, when it comes to things, there was a recent robbery at the Louvre. Okay, this will go back to your point. Okay,
it took them 10 minutes to take out all of that treasure.
I saw the two guys that when they picked up. There's obviously more than just two involved in the robbery attempt. Well, actually, I shouldn't say attempt. They actually got away with it. And both of them looked like they had been chasing parked cars most of their life. They didn't look real smart, right? Okay. Chasing parked cars, it doesn't take a genius to be successful to catch one of them. But that's why they got caught within, I think, 72 hours, I think, of the robbery, give or take.
Right.
But what did they go after? They went after the most precious of things.
The crown jewels.
Correct. That's my point. They didn't go after cash. They didn't go after gold. They went after something that obviously they were paid in advance. The word on the street is they were offered 300,000 euros to steal $100 million or thereabouts worth of precious stones, antiquities and artifacts that go far beyond their value of weight. And that's what we're talking about here today is that the dollar used to be that value. It used to be when we left to go to the commercial break, you mentioned something about the dollar used to be that rare asset that everybody could count on.
Right.
That everybody would be able to use as a reserve currency. I mean, everybody wasn't just us here in America. Right. It was the nations. It was the central banks around the world. Do you know the number one reserve currency today that has eclipsed all others? Gold. Gold.
That's the reserve currency.
As a reserve currency, which means where governments will hold that gold as a precautionary measure of wealth against uncertain financial times or currency devaluations, much like we're having now. The second currency they have, gold being one, is the euro. The dollar's not even in the top five anymore. Now, it's still transactional number one every day. But as a rule, the dollar now is dropping below that 52-53%, and there is no way, even with a stable coin that will then have no volatility, even if it's backed by gold, will it be able to bring to the top the dollar's dominance again. Because, one, the China and the coalition of the BRICS nations, or BRICS Plus now they're called, has a dominating effect within the world markets for international trade. That's why we had to back off on the tariffs. We had to backpedal on so many of them, was because China just didn't negotiate in the same way of which they would have back in 18, because they now are prepared. So I tell people the Genius Act is, I mean, there's always going to be a gateway to somewhere. With a gateway to high taxation was the IRS being formed in 13. The gateway to inflation was the Federal Reserve being formed in 1913. Without the Federal Reserve, we never had inflation in this country because we couldn't overinflate the currency. You couldn't do it. You couldn't print it out of thin air.
Right.
Okay, think about that. We didn't even have any real monumental debt to our GDP until what? The Federal Reserve comes around and Nixon takes us off the gold standard in August of 71. Fast forward to today, now we're going to go full digital. The Bible's very clear. In order for the mark of the beast to be realized and God's will to be fulfilled, the whole world has to be digitized.
Now, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. In fact, Bill Gates filed his patent application in March of 2020, right during the COVID situation. He filed that with the U.S. Patent Office to merge the digital control of money and medical care all in one representation to create an identity specifically for every individual. And that's how all transactions, both for currency, that is buying and selling, and for obtaining of medical care, would be accomplished. Now, to me, that sounds like it's right on the threshold of Revelation 13 itself. What say you?
It's 100% correct. In fact, I know about that, what you're talking about. So what he did was, and he's not the only one. There's many, many other companies out there and individuals that have filed patents to merge various segments of society and culture into a centralized digital currency or a centralized digital wallet. Because what they're doing is, think about this, electric vehicles. Sounds great in theory, but with electric vehicles, and I don't want to destroy all the people that bought electric vehicles, but electric vehicles, as you know, was never about, if it was about clean energy and if it was about decarbonization, why does it take 100 barrels of oil to make one Tesla, where it takes one barrel of oil to make a Ford F-150? You're never going to have the ability to justify the creation of a Tesla to the value proposition over a gas or diesel engine.
So it's about control, then.
Yeah. It's a control. I'm going to say the last part. Because the batteries, you can't redo them. You can't remake them. You can't reuse them in any way, shape, or form. And when you try to dispose of them, good luck. Now, technology may prove me wrong in the future for disposal, but I won't be proven wrong when it comes to the cost of manufacturing from all of the things of which it takes to make a Tesla. And you're correct in what you just said. It's about control. It's a flip of the switch, and all cars made from 26 and sold in America have a cutoff switch now. They want it, and all these cars can be monitored through various ways. When the transportation or the infrastructure act got passed by Biden, there was trillions of dollars that are now being spent over the next decade. You got to, there were covenants within the bill to continue to spend it, where there are towers built on highways. And many people have called me and said, oh my God, you're right. And those towers are the ones that can then link to the electric vehicle and issue you a ticket, stop your car, determine that you're not a good person and social credit score has now lowered. They just turn it off. And if you complain, well, hell, we'll just turn your money off with it.
Exactly. Okay. Now, that's interesting. In light of the fact that you sent me just before broadcast time a headline, Europe bans large cash payments as digital euro nears launch. So Europe's in the process of digital money.
Yeah, they're about 18 months ahead of us. But make no mistake, the good news is we're going to be right there behind them. Not by far. And again, it goes back to the same theory of chaos.
Whatever and why happens, is that good news, though?
It's not. I was being facetious, sarcastic.
Just wanted to clarify there, Christian.
I just don't want to be proven wrong about this stuff. So I was like, hey, good news. And they'll be like...
Okay. All of this may seem rather cryptic to a lot of people when it's called the Genius Act, but that's an acronym for the actual title of the bill, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you even know on the tip of your tongue what the actual title of this bill is?
Not specifically, but I call it the communist way to control the masses by a handful of class of people. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what it is. Chuck, why do they call it a central bank? Because it's centralizing the banking operation of a few over the masses. And what's really scary, and I mean, this is to terrify everybody, even the people that are creating these laws, you're not always going to be in a position that this doesn't affect you. It's always right. going to be something out there. And I remind people in Congress, talked to two of them the other day and was on a trip with several of the House members a few weeks ago, and even they brought it up. What's going to happen to our kids and grandkids? I don't know. You created the Affordable Care Act, you Mr. and Mrs. Democrat. You guys created the Genius Act, Democrats and Republicans. You've created bills that by the definition of what's in them, you don't even know. In fact, what was it? A joke among Capitol Hill is, we don't really read the bills. We get the cliff notes. But as long as what we want are in the bills, we don't care and we pass them.
That's something.
The majority of what happens.
Isn't that amazing? Now, if a lawyer were to do that with his client, he would be subject to malpractice, right?
Oh, probably be disbarred.
Disbarred.
Probably yep. disbarred, and his malpractice insurance would be paying out a fortune.
It's unbelievable what they get by with, and multiplied words. The words don't mean anything until somebody gets caught with them.
Right.
So the next question, though, is, okay, we have all of this information. We see what's coming down the pike. It's inevitable, as you said, because God's word is true, and that's why all these things are taking place. They're taking
True.
Place because God foreknew what was going to take place, and he's told us about it, warned us about it. But why? Why should we even know this? What's the reason why the average person out there should have any care about this?
Why should they have care? Well, I would pose that question and ask it to the people that are listening that may have relatives that lived pre-communist or during the communist era in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
I had the pleasure of talking to one of those people from Poland who was born and raised, and in the late 80s, right before Poland fell back to capitalism, he was able to get out, but his parents and grandparents would, and he lived there for 20 years during it. And he said there was a moment of shock. I'm going to give you the feeling when you go from communism to capitalism, a moment of shock. People for months did not realize that the homes that they were given, not as their own, but as just a place to live under communism, became their own. They couldn't believe, they never knew what actual home ownership was,
right?
Car ownership. They didn't even know what a bank account was because it would get handed out these little, they were like green, remember green stamps back in the day?
Oh, do I remember it? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Green stamps.
Think of them as green stamps. And you know what those green stamps would give you? The right to buy one piece of meat per week. The rest was just bread.
Wow.
That's the CBDC.
Okay. We're going to pick up on this when we get back. We're going to try to dig a little deeper into, okay, now what? How should we respond as individual followers of Jesus Christ to this kind of situation? Information. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Our guest today, Christian Briggs, an economist who is being used, employed, but used even in speaking counseling senators, congressmen, and others in the business world, even the White House, concerning matters of the economy and all of the implications of these things. It's not just information, it's the implication of the information. That's what we need to be focusing on here. And is there anything then that should drive us to make any changes in our own minds, our own hearts, our own lives? Certainly, God doesn't want us to trust the spirit of Egypt. He doesn't want to trust the spirit of Edom or Babylon or Tyre or Sidon or any of these things. He wants us to trust him. So where do we fit in this? Why would you come on this program, Christian, and talk to God's people concerning these issues?
Why not? Why should we should be talking to everybody, not just God's people?
Well, that's true.
Right?
Right.
I mean, don't we have an obligation and a duty as saved people? And we're all ministers of Christ's word, right? We're
right.
all called to become priests and to share the good news.
Right.
And the good news is when you know something that can affect you. And, you know, I never want to try to discriminate somebody who's saved or not being saved. I think that we all have an
right.
opportunity and an obligation
right.
to share the word, but also to share the truth.
All right. So what's the implication then? Implication that requires some degree of response. What kind of response would you say that this kind of information is calling for?
I think everybody that listens should call their local congressman and say, what's with this Genius Act? Go online. Now, I will never, with the exception of one time, ever agree that Elizabeth Warren is onto something. When she wrote an article a couple, 3 weeks ago, and she said the Genius Act is a terrible bill, she wasn't just coming from a place of far left. It is a terrible bill in its current form. Doesn't mean it has to stay that way. We can change this really quick.
All right.
So I would say that when looking at the Genius Act for what it was, the intent was fantastic. The execution, not so great, because why do we have to have 17 Democrats buy into it on the Senate? We made over 100 changes to the Genius Act to appease those Senate Democrats. Why did Rand Paul vote against it, and a host of other Republicans who are more constitutional Republicans than many,
right.
and Thomas Massey and Warren Davidson? Why do these guys have a problem with the Genius Act? And they're all solid people, because it was written in a manner in which to quickly get it through to appease the Democrats who were so against it originally, and then all of a sudden loved it when they put in all these different things that could do what? Turn it into a CBDC. So it's our obligation to let people know, if you know something that can affect anybody.
All right. So when a person is going to contact mm-hmm. their congressman concerning you know. This act, what is it that they should be voicing their support for or their opposition to?
The opposition is this, and let's talk, the support is, okay, if we're going to have to deal with the debt, and the Genius Act was a method of two things. One, to circumvent what the Federal Reserve was going to do and issue their own money and usurp Congress's authority, and number two, to stabilize and if not fully eliminate the debt by putting the debt back in the Federal Reserve to eliminate cash, and now we go straight digital, those things are going to be accomplished. But the problem is, and this is what you tell your congressman, is that as you know this, Chuck, you can read my report, there are things within the Genius Act that, again, with a bad administration, can make this thing a centralized digital currency and not the intent of what it was engineered to be, and that is a stabilizer to the dollar
right.
to increase short-term demand for treasuries,
right?
Because you have to have treasuries that are purchased as a collateralization for issuing stable coins by licensed corporations and banks and forth that want to get into it. So it has value.
Well, the White House in its headline said the main purpose of it was to protect the average consumer.
Protected from a diminishing value of the current dollar in its current form of fiat currency is a true statement. They're not lying. It is for stabilization.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that stabilization may come at a very, very high price, called communistic methods of which to can strain you from actually being able to get access to your money in a digital form.
In other words, the protection itself becomes the engine of your demise.
Well, sure. It's no different than people that go to these countries. You know, I heard the story once where a woman said Cuba offers the best way of which to live your life. They take care of everything. Yeah, sure. They take care of making sure you have no food, no job, no clothing, no shelter, no freedom. And
then you're still driving 1950s vehicle with one of the wheels coming off.
Amen, brother. Exactly. If that's your version of utopia, go to Cuba, knock yourself out. I guarantee you'll be back here in 6 minutes. Yeah.
All right.
That's the Genius Act.
Now, is there anything individually that people should respond to? For instance, you are the CEO of Hard Asset Management, Inc., dealing with rare coins and precious metals. Do rare coins and precious metals deliver you from the negative effects of the Genius Act or of a globalized currency?
That's a great question, a great way of asking it, in fact. Yes, they can help offset the aforementioned decline of the currency. For example, the dollar that we know it is going to be removed from society in a cash form. Those days are absolutely numbered. In other words, we will be cashless in the next 3 to 5 years. There's no question about it. I may actually have any 3, but it could take 5. But we're going to be cashless. Knowing the inevitability is now set in motion gives people the peace of mind to know that by sound financial planning, you can offset the demise of that value, of the instrument of which we currently trade in, because it's going to go down in value. Stable coins were designed to stabilize the ultimate decline, but we're still going to decline.
Right.
So when you're looking at hard assets, precious metals, rare coins or something, what you're trying to do is maintain capital wealth first and foremost. Will I lose money? No. Can I make a fortune? Sure. Maybe. Not. But capital preservation is the name of the game. Remember
that. Okay. That I understand. I think people can understand that. So I want to take us back very quickly to November 4th when we discussed in a significant way the president's hinting about the reevaluation of the dollar. Actually, the reevaluation of gold. It's set at $42 an ounce in 1973. Currently, it's right about $4,400 an ounce. So how does the re-evaluation or revaluation of gold connect with the Genius Act, if at all?
Well, that's a good question, and that's going to be the one that the president will initiate here sometime soon. In order for the stable coin to really garner the kind of usage that we're going to need, is you're going to have to back the stable coin in its current form with either cash or short-term treasuries, which is 93 days or newer. If they decide to reset gold at $3,500 to $4,000, kind of in the range, that'll stabilize the initial impact of the stable coin replacing the paper currency.
Okay.
As we move forward, the scary part is you can set gold at $20,000 an ounce, but that will not have any value to the stablecoin of the U.S. dollar if China and the BRICS nations continue to make such a rapid increase in daily usage of the digital yuan, which just this week they set another benchmark record for usage in daily transactions in local markets. So what I've told people is this, is if the precious metals hard asset market in general, because metals are hard assets, is the stabilizer for the U.S. dollar. That's going to be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. That is great for hard assets. Okay, everything goes up when that tide goes up. But the benchmark that you've got to also look at because of this week's information, and this is changing like lightning speed, and it's aggressively going quickly, is BRICS are making massive inroads, in their usage of both local currencies that are members of the BRICS as well as the digital yuan. And look at Brazil and look at all these other countries that are part of the BRICS.
Right.
The tariffs that we set upon these people was effective to a point, and the tariffs were cut to ease pain for U.S. coffee and beef lovers, basically, is our headlines. So we did not get the full value of what we wanted in the trade war. but we did get some value. There is some bad news. I mean, it did create some inflationary pressures, obviously. So again, we're now not, don't look at the stable coins as being a way of which to stabilize the dollar. It's economic policy that's going to win at the end of the day. And we may not be the 800-pound gorilla in the room that dictates policy much longer if we continue to see China and the BRICS grow in their dominance of world trade.
And then you've got a $40 trillion national debt. And that hovers over the entire situation, does it not?
Oh, man, does it ever. $40 trillion. We're going to be at $39 trillion here probably before the end of the conversation. Maybe by tomorrow we'll be at $45 trillion. I mean, it goes so fast.
Right.
Being facetious there. But the only way to get rid of the debt, and have your listeners listen carefully to me, you're going to start to see the Federal Reserve buy $300 billion a month, a week, a day. At some point, it's going to be to spend $20 trillion to increase their holdings, called QE, quantitative easing. They're going to start buying debt the first week of December aggressively to try to bring down interest rates, buy the old debt, park it in the Federal Reserve, and then they're just going to get rid of the Federal Reserve to get rid of as much debt, if not all of it, not all of it probably, but a lot of it. Certainly at a certain point, it'll be significant, and then we're going to transition to digital currency. And this is all looking at what's going to happen in the next 24 months from start to completion. Make no mistake, when you change monetary policy by introducing new currency, especially, this is more transitional than electricity or indoor plumbing,
right,
or getting rid of the horse and buggy and going for cars. This will transform the entire world with a whole new way of which to live.
And how does that affect then the price of gold and silver?
I'm glad you asked, Chuck. Well, how that's going to is that you're not going to have billionaires just simply allow this to happen with their money. If you go look at why did someone 7 years ago pay just a hair under $500 million for a painting? Why are Picasso's bringing $250 million now? Why are pink diamonds bringing $100 million? Because that is a store of wealth. And as we transition, all bets are off by how much the next generation digital currency, which will be centralized, is diminished in value. It's not going to be a one-for-one. See, we're always going to issue more currency to maintain economic growth, even if it's deficit spending, because that's how it works. So you're always going to have inflation, devaluation, and taxation. I'll leave it at this. Lenin knew one thing, to destroy the Russian Empire. And here's how he built the entire Bolshevik revolution
Make
platform.
Make it quick.
Okay. First, we have inflation. Let the majority of the people cry for food because they can't afford it. Second, tax the super wealthy if the inflation didn't get them. And if you can't tax the super wealthy, devalue the currency. Inflation, taxation, devaluation. Tell me where I'm wrong so far in the last 2, 3, 4 years, and especially this year. All of that's happening in real time.
Well, that's exactly what the new mayor of New York is calling for, even as late as today. Father, friends, thank you for joining us here on Viewpoint. You can see we have so much we can be talking about. Christian Briggs joining us, economist. He's the CEO of Hard Asset Management, Inc., Rare Coins and Precious Metals. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
Call me at 310-279-9400.
Again,
and leave a message or text me at that.
310-279-9400. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much again, Christian, for joining me here on the program. This is tough talk for troubled times, but indeed, we have to get the information out there so that people can be prepared and they aren't be terrified by fear. Friends,
thank you
you've
so
been
much.
Listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Become a partner. Send your gifts, my friend, Faith, to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Do it today. Don't delay. As you can see, time is running short on the eternal scale of things. Let's follow the Lord with a whole heart, trust in Him, and lean not to our own understanding.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.